is dedicated Le'ilui Nishmas Rachulei Abbas Rachaim Tzvi. Okay, now that we've heard a lot about Bitachon, and I'm going to give you a recap on some of the things we've already discussed. We spoke about what Bitachon is, how it could be recognized, what ways of thinking lead to Bitachon, different ways of applying Bitachon to real life, and last week, the balance between Hishtadlut and Bitachon. We're going to go further into this and try to get a finer edge on everything we've said until now. Yesh omrim, she'ikar mitzvot ha-bitachon, hu she'barur la'adam, she'kol ma she'mitvachesh b'olam b'chlal, v'chol ma she'nagia lo b'frat, ha'kol me'Hashem. Ki hu bal ha'yecholet, v'hu ha'mashpia, ve'elav yitpalel, v'yasim tekvato bo v'yecholenehu. So there are those who maintain that the real mitzvah of bitachon is that a person should live with clarity. They shouldn't be distracted by external reality to the point that they realize that everything that occurs in the world and everything that happens to them specifically, everything has one source, which is Hashem. And that He, Hashem, can influence any number of events, and because of that, we should pray to Him. Now, why is prayer here? We have to understand how prayer works a bit. As you know, the Gemara says whenever a person does a good deed, they create a good angel. Whenever they do a bad deed, they create a bad angel. Reliance on Hashem could actually draw down different angelic force. I want you to realize the implications of this. A malach, an angel, literally means a shaliach, a messenger. So what you send up draws something down. We see this with Sarah when she was captured by Paro, that she prayed, and she was able to, says that he was smitten by her mouth, meaning the words of her prayer drew down angelic force, which brought about a plague. So what that means is that praying now has two focuses. One is that it changes the person by making them more reliant on Hashem, so they could receive what Hashem wants to give. But the other is that it actually changes the sort of force that's sent down. David rachamana letav. Avaloshayach bitachon b'Hashem, she'yiten lo davka ma shehu mevakesh, or ma shetzavich lo. Now, if a person prays and they don't get they don't get what they want. So, what does that mean? So, again, using this perspective, what it means is whatever Hashem, who's compassionate, does is good, as we spoke about already. So bitachon doesn't mean that you're necessarily, or anyone is necessarily, going to get what they're asking for or what they want. Okay. And l'chora, this makes sense, because who says that any one of us has enough merit to draw down this sort of force? Again, the force comes down on the basis of merit. Okay, so this is what we've learned until now. This is what's discussed in the Sefer Chazon Ish on Emunah and Bitachon. This is what we saw in Orchot Tzadikim. And now we're going to have a new take. Ready? Okay. Amnam daga gedola hizo. Mikol makom matzana mikorot neman she'en ze kol mash nita lomar b'inyan amok ze. So the level we just discussed is a very high level. Halavai we would come to it. Halavai we would come to such clarity that we would never attribute an event to anything other than Hashem. And we would never invest our faith in anything other than Hashem. I'm not sure if I told you about this last week. I may have or I may not have. But I have a student who's very ill. And she was initially diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, with all sorts of intervention from Hashem. Her situation became better to the point that the doctors, who initially said there's really nothing to do, have suggested a surgery that may work dramatically, may work not only to give her a brief reprieve, which is what they initially said that the chemotherapy would do, but might actually provide her with something far better. But this surgery could only be done in a country in which that she's not a citizen of. So the question would be like, and the expenses, how will she, you know, if she has no insurance in this country, how will the, who's going to pay for this? How much could you ask the community for? So someone in that country found a sort of legal way by which she could get insurance. What do I mean by sort of legal? Certainly not in the spirit of the law, possibly in the, within the letter of the law, within the various loopholes that are inherent to any legal system. How did I hear about this? She called me up and said, Tzipora, you wouldn't believe what people are telling me to do. They're telling me to do something that's basically dishonest. And I didn't know what she was talking about at the time. She said, who, what? She told me. I said, listen to me, this is your life. So what it came down to is that she was absolutely positive that that wasn't relevant, since Hashem could save her life any way in which he wants. So this is remarkable. So to make a long story with many chapters short, last week her husband's Rav went to the Gerer Rebbe to ask the big question. The big question is, on one hand, you have, since again, this may be within the letter of the law, it's certainly not in the spirit of the law. If they were apprehended doing this, there certainly would be a Chilul Hashem. Ah, the Jews this, and ah, the Jews that. And if not, her life's in balance. Nobody in Israel has anything that could possibly be an alternative to this surgery. So he did instruct wealthy people to help with the actual cost of the surgery, but without a follow-up operation, which they were suggesting, without aftercare, without chemo being done in the country in which the surgery would be done. And he said, if you need more, then you'll have to live there for a while, and your husband will have to work, and he'll have to work hard, and he'll have to take on debts, and he'll have to pay them, but don't turn to the community, because the community can't handle this, that even though there's a loophole that's legal, you're not using it and placing the burden on them. But then he said, but Mir Tashem, it'll be okay, and you won't need all that. So that's a huge thing, and of course it's still an unfolding drama. And even the bracha itself, he at first just gave his advice, and only when the Gabbai said, but what's going to be, did he give the bracha. It brought everybody back to sanity. It isn't as though the only way Hashem could get something accomplished is through using the services of, shall we say, gray individuals. That's not how it is. So what we're having here is that there could be an even higher level than this, which is huge. So you could ask yourself, so why even hear about it? What's, this has nothing to do with me. Even this level has little to do with me, some of you may be thinking. So the answer takes us back to what I call the 80% rule, which is if you aim for 100, you get up to 80. If you aim for 80, you get up to 60. If you aim for, okay, you've got the idea. He brings the Gemara, the Sota, Tanan, Meshechar Bet HaMikdash, Pasku Anshei Emuna. Perish Rashi, Anshei Emuna, Botchim Bashem, V'somchim Alav Lasot Tov. So the Gemara tells us that from the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, there are no more men of faith. Now what does this have to do with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash wasn't destroyed for no reason. The fact that it hasn't been rebuilt shows that there's been a great decline on a spiritual level. And having no men of faith, that's where it is. So Rashi tells us what men of faith are, and I want you to hear this again. They trust in Hashem and rely on Him that He'll do good, and they don't worry about lack. Hainu, she'im b'nei adam oskim b'mitzvah gedola v'chol kocham v'chol nafsham, yesh lam l'smoch al Hashem she'azor lahem l'asot ha'tov ha'hu. V'im ein lahem emtza'im l'zeh, ein lahem l'd'o ki Hashem yamaleh et ha'chisaron. So what was their level? These were people who lived their lives in mitzvah. And when they're doing a mitzvah, they said, if I start out doing this mitzvah, Hashem will give me whatever benefit I need, whatever good I need to keep on going. without worrying. So I'll give you an example of what this looks like concretely. Some of you who were in Yerushalayim any amount of time, I'm sure you were in Yerushalayim some amount of time, may have heard of the Machlis family of Malot Daphna. Who are they? They're ordinary people, Americans. Years ago, they began their practice of inviting whoever needs a place to come to them on Shabbos. And I remember their early days. Their little kids would come out and to the non-religious children in the neighborhood. There was a big common between the religious buildings and the non-religious buildings. Say, Kiddush, Kiddush, mi rotza lishmo Kiddush. And they would have students, and all of this was still fairly normal. After all, they were within voice range of Or Sameach, so most of the people in the area had several guests for Shabbos. It was normal. But somehow, they decided to do what most people don't decide to do. They decided not to close the door. So, when you're in Yerushalayim, and you're in, let's say, Geula, or Me'ah Shearim, or the Kotel area, or Shmuel HaNavi, and you see people who are down and out, people who you wouldn't necessarily want in your home, because they're difficult, because they're complex, because they're needy, and not just physically. The machlises take them all, plus itinerant students, plus people who just come for the scene, plus people who are perfectly normal, but are lonely because their homes are so quiet because they're alone. So how many guests do they have on an average Shabbos? Anywhere between 100 and 200. In the summer, tourist season, winter break, 200. Other times, 100, 120, 150. It's a huge undertaking. So I was interested in three things. And I decided to get my courage up and to ask Kenny, it's Mrs. Machlis' name, three questions. One is, when do you start? When do you start preparing for so many people? Two, how do you get into this? And three, how do you pay for it? So let's answer one thing at a time. Now I asked her, when do you start? What do you think I expected to hear? I expected to hear, oh, already Mitzvah Shabbat, you have to do the cleanup, you have to think about next week. It's not what I heard. She starts Thursday afternoon. That's when I start. That's not fair. Now, she does have some people, women of the neighborhood, who come in and help. This one will peel, that one will make fish, but it's still almost miraculous. How'd she get started? And this is what's relevant to our text here. She told me she never made a decision to, quote, get started. What she did do was she made a decision that she'll invite whoever needs a place and Hashem will help her, and he's never let her down. Which takes us to the last part, the financial side of it. Initially, this effort was paid for by her extended family. But now they've been doing a hagrala, a lottery once a year, where people could partake. So I was wondering about this when she told me that. Now, since Hashem could do what he wants, he could cause her family to always have enough money to pay for the whole thing. But clearly Hashem wants other people to be part of this mitzvah. So in any case, that's the idea of this. If you know what you're doing is right, to trust Hashem that he's going to want you to do what's good. V'chein, excuse me, k'tach amar b'netivot olam, b'tach el Hashem b'chol levavcha v'al binatcha al tisha'en. Maharal quotes a pasuk from Mishle, trust Hashem with all of your hearts, and don't rely on your insight. Ha'adam yasim bitchano bo yitbarach. A person should put all of his trust in Hashem. Bitachon gamur, complete trust, al mashu tzarich, for what he needs. Va'al nishan al binato, and don't rely on your insight, bavad, alone. Rak yiftach b'Hashem. Only trust Hashem. Shu yotzi machshavato asher chafes lasod el ha'poel. Hashem can take his thought out from potential into actual. Meaning, if Hashem's plan is to give you whatever it is he wants to give you, he can take it out to actuality. He isn't dependent on anything external. Kikasheh poteh po yitbarach, az yaseh Hashem bakashato. This is what he says. If you trust Hashem, then, and this is as a result of the trust, Hashem will do what you want. V'dai midaber b'misha davar shu tzarich hu inyan b'avodat Hashem. Now, however, and we're going back to this, when it says what the person needs, what the person wants, we're not talking about a person who wants something for egocentric reasons or for status reasons. We're talking about somebody who wants that in order to serve Hashem, which narrows the picture considerably. Okay, now taking this idea further, the idea that if you really trust Hashem absolutely and your intent is to serve Him truly, He will not take away from you the means of serving Him. Ubebracha, tenu rabbanan. Maaseh behilal hazaken, shahaya ba bederech, ushma tzocha ba'ir, tzvacha ba'ir. Amar muftachani she'en ze betoch beti. There's a story in the Gemara in Brachot. Hillel was walking and he heard terrible cries coming from his village. So he was a distance from the village and he heard cries coming from the village. And he said, I'm sure it's not from my house. How was he so sure? So the Gemara answers itself by saying that the pasuk that we'll quote presently relates to somebody on his level. What does the pasuk say? A person whose heart is established in its bitachon in Hashem has no need to fear evil. Amar Rabba kol hichi derashta lahay kara midaresh mireisha l'seifa. Because this sentence could be read either way. You could read it backwards. Bad news? Don't be afraid. Why? Because the person's heart is established in bitachon in Hashem. Or backwards. Because his heart is secured bitachon in Hashem, mishmur ra lo yira. Therefore, he won't hear bad news. V'tzurachin, ma ben shtei hadrashot? V'amnam Rashi katav shehem chada mashmuti. So, you have to ask, wait a minute, these both mean the same thing. Don't fear evil because you trust in Hashem, or because you trust in Hashem, don't fear evil. And even Rashi says they sound the same. So, why are we saying that this one drasha could be read either way when both ways seem to mean the same thing exactly? Aval in b'chidush HaRashba shemivi b'shem HaRavid sheperish ba'ofen ha'achad shekevan shalibo nachon ubetoch b'Hashem v'day Hashem lo yaseh lo ra'ah umetkayem ma shebotayach. Okay, so he quotes the Rashba who says that because the person's heart is established in trust in Hashem, Hashem therefore has no reason, no will to do him evil, and therefore will establish for him what he trusts in. Haynu kanal bepivsa hakodemet, and that's what the first side would mean. Because you're botech by Hashem, therefore why would Hashem, why would he do something bad to destroy your faith? Both in bed perish. Shein kan havtacha, but the second way is that there's no promise. Elami shelibo nachon eino yare mishmora, but a person whose heart is established in its trust with Hashem isn't afraid of bad news. Hainu shmargish b'libo she'al kol panim ein mal yara ki mehashem hu avrachaman v'chol mashoseh harei utov. He's saying this person who has bitachon will say, if it's from Hashem, it's good. So notice the difference between these two pshatim. The first one says, because he has bitachon, Hashem will only do good for him and will give him what he thinks he needs in order to serve Hashem. The second is saying, no. The person has no fear of evil because to him nothing will be called evil. Since he knows everything has one inception point, everything begins with Hashem. Then nothing is evil, whether it fits his original plan, whether it doesn't fit his original plan. So these are the two different ways of looking at what bitachon means. וזה כמו שכתבו בראש דיברנו, וכשני האופנים האלה, פירוש גם הגרא בבירורי האגדות. And the Gra also says that these are really the two different madregot and possibilities of having trust in Hashem. So we're coming to now is that there are really two different ways through which trust of Hashem can develop within a person. One is he looks at life, the person looks at life, absolutely fearlessly. Not because they think life will be sweet or easy, but because they think life is good. Why is life good? Because they trust what Hashem is doing, that this is good, this is as it should be at this moment. So a person on that level could be like Yosef HaTzadik in prison, who has absolute bitachon in Hashem. That the fact that he's in prison is exactly where he had to be at this moment. The other is a completely different way of looking at things. That person's eye isn't looking at life at all. It's looking at Hashem's will. Hashem, I want to serve you. Here's what I want to do. With such sincerity that Hashem on his side surely will not prevent him from doing what the person wants to do. So they anticipate not that what's good, no matter how bad it is good, but what is can only take them to mitzvah. So they have what they want. So the first view is that you don't have to have what you want. You have to deal with what you have and let it elevate you. The second view is what you have on the deepest level is what you want. Okay, now we're going to have another Gemara. Ach, Dvei Rabba Mevia Shem HaGemara Shtei Masiyot. So concerning Rabba, who remember, said that a person who trusts in Hashem and his heart is established in this trust has no need to fear evil. He brings two different stories. Aleph. Hahuta Talmid Taveka Azel Batre De Rabbi Yishmael Bar Rabbi Yossi B'Shuka De Tzion. Chizayu Deka Mafchid Amar Lo Chata Chatata. Okay, the first is, there was a Talmud, and he was walking after Rabbi Yishmael ben Rabbi Yossi in the Shuk of Tzion. He saw that he looked frightened. And you know what he said to him? You've sinned. Another story. Yehuda bar Natan hayashakil azil batre de Rabbi Hamnuna. Atna. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda bar Natan was going after Rav Hamnuna, and he sighed. Amalo, Yisurin bai ha'hu gavra la'atui anafshe, k'dechtiv, ki pachadu pachadati, v'yatyani kashe yigori bi, yavo v'chule. So he says that suffering must come to this person, because this is what the fear comes from. The fear comes from the fear of suffering. Perisham ha'gra, ששתי מעשיות אלו מתייחסות לשני אופנים הנ"ל. The Gra tells us that these two stories relate to the two ways of trusting Hashem. המעשה הראשון על התלמיד שמפחד ונקרא חוטא. The first one is of a student who fears, and because he fears, he's called a sinner. מחזק את אופן הבית. This is the second way of trusting. Meaning, if he thinks that what he's seeing isn't good, then he's off, since everything comes from Hashem. And it's exactly what he wants and needs. Himayay libo nachon lo haya mefached yemashiyah. If his heart was established and strong, he wouldn't be afraid no matter what. Kerei hakol letova, because everything is for the good. V'amasa habet mechazek et haofen achad anal. Well, the second story strengthens the first idea. If you're sighing, it shows that you do not have faith in Hashem. And the sighing itself, the lack of trust, changes the level of the person's merit. And that's why their Yisurim come. And that's why he quotes, Because I trembled, it came to me. Hainu mipnei gorti, because of my trembling. Okay, so what does this mean? So it means that we have to be honest when we examine our emotional capacity. Okay, we have to realize that fear itself, fear of the future, what's going to be? That fear itself, by its nature, possibly could bring about bad responses because it changes the person's merit level. Okay, he's going to take us further in this. Yadua Maisa de Rebbe Kiva, Shalomet Nulo Ba'ir Makom Lalun Rak Besadeh. Uva Aryeh V'achal Et Chamoro V'chatul Harag Tar Nigolo V'ruach Kavta Neiro V'al Kol Zeh V'al Kol Devar Amar Kol Ma Sheda'avi V'achaman Alatav. Okay, we know the story of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, he was traveling, and when he came to a city, they didn't let him stay over there, so he had to go out and sleep in the field. Then a lion came and ate his donkey. You know, in this story, they never mentioned, forget about the loss of the donkey. Wouldn't you be like beyond fear if you saw a lion eat your donkey? I would be like, that would be enough to finish me. Okay, then a cat came and ate his rooster. Then a wind came and extinguished his fire. And after each loss, he said, whatever the merciful one does is for the good. Ubaboken it barer hatov, ki balayla ba gedud v'shavu kol b'nei ha'ir. So he saw in the morning that it was good, because at night a whole troop of soldiers came and despoiled the city. Ketav al zeh ma'aral, shema sh'amar Rabbi Akiva, kol ma sh'da'avid v'acham alatav avid, hu boteach b'ashem, ki kol ma sh'nesa lo latav avid, u'machamat b'tchano b'ashem, nase lo hadavar hu latava, midavar shu nir'era. So his faith in Hashem was such, because he saw everything comes from a merciful source. So Hashem made it that way. He made it come out good. He made him realize and see its goodness. Va'od ketav shem, sha'af sharuim v'hoshrim kifar avdat tikvatam, al yeke'esh, rak shibutuchim bo adei ad, ki Hashem yechol lo'oshia otam. So even if a person comes to a place where he thinks there's no hope, he could still put his trust in Hashem, because Hashem is beyond everything, and he could still help him. So a person who, in spite of whatever the situation is, still trusts Hashem that anything is possible, that all the doors are still open, Hashem could still save them. So at that moment, that state of being is called Milchemet Hashem. The person is in a war. What against what? Their trust in Hashem, and they're seeing him as him, Hashem, as their ally, who could destroy any enemy. ובזם יושב מה שהקשנו לאל, איך יפתח בהשם שיעשה מבוקשו? מי אמר שיש לו הזכויות הנדרשות? כי בתכונה בהשם לבד הוא הגורם להצלתו. So this means that now our question is answered, the question we asked at the beginning. We said there are two ways of having bitachon. One is Hashem will really do what you want. So our answer here is that no, you don't think I deserve or Hashem is obliged. We believe Hashem can do anything. And that trust in and of itself can draw down supernatural interventions. So what that means on a concrete level is whenever you move the extra little space within yourself and trust, the likelihood of that trust being realized is far greater than 5 minutes before. So even if your general madrega hasn't changed, you're not doing more mitzvot, you're not doing less averot, but you're no longer alleged only with yourself, you're alleged with Hashem, you see that everything is absolutely possible. So at that moment, when you feel fully alleged with Him, that in and of itself makes the change. V'chein amru zal kedai hi'amuna sheminu bo lekvar et hayam. And this is why it says in Shemot Rabbah that the faith alone was enough to cause the sea to split. Meaning the faith brought down the Shefa from Hashem, not their mitzvot. And this is what the Gra says will happen in our era. He says that Mashiach is going to come in the merit of faith. It's not going to come in the merit of existent deeds. Bitachon u'maseh. Kol maseh adam ben beruchaniyut ben begashmiut tzrichim liyot al derech kiyum mitzvot Hashem. Whatever deeds a person does, whether it's spiritual or physical, have to be in a way through which they're keeping Hashem's mitzvot. Think of my friend who's having the operation. V'lo l'shtadel l'male et shifat l'vavov v'l'asagat ha'dvorim ha'em. That means that a person's will in wanting this or wanting that should be to do what Hashem wants of them, not to do what they want. Because if you're making choices just for your own fulfillment, who are you going to trust? Yourself. Now, and now we'll understand what we said about the Maharal in our earlier shiur. We said the Maharal said to maximize hishtadlut. Why did Hashem give you talents? Why did Hashem give you abilities if not to use it? That's if what? If you're doing your hishtadlut because your intent is to draw down effects that will change things. How will they change things? They'll make you more able to do Hashem's will. I want to give you a concrete example of something I saw last week. I went to the Eish HaTorah dinner. They had two, I don't know if they did this on purpose or not, but they had two very, very different guests of honor. One was a secular industrialist who runs the Teva pharmaceutical firm. It's one of the largest pharmaceutical holdings in the entire world. An enormously successful businessman who gives jobs to tens of thousands of people and who's been directly responsible for researching all sorts of drugs that can change people's lives. Why is he doing this? He's secular. So I don't know him, but if you would, I would assume you would say, why are you doing it? It's right, it's good. But right and good to him, given his limitations, which are not necessarily his fault at all, have to do with his conscience, which is a very, very limited place. Now, the other guest of honor was Mr. Hochstein. I have to tell you about Mr. Hochstein. Mr. Hochstein celebrated his 95th birthday at the Eish HaTorah dinner, along with his wife. He's 95 years old. He spoke publicly. Straight as a rod, his wife right there with him. They were running movies of their lives. One of them showed them swinging on swings in the park. 95. And this is what he said. He said, I've been in business for 70 years. At a different dinner, I once heard him tell his life story, which is, as you would expect, rags to riches. And he said, there's one investment that I've lived to see return again and again and again. If you give tzedakah, Hashem's there for you. And he illustrated this with many examples. He's a very amusing speaker. If you come to me and you say, Mr. Hochstein, you've been in business 70 years, you could give me a tip? So he said, here's my tip. If somebody came to you who's totally reliable, who represents a firm with a sterling reputation, and it's backed by the oldest bank in the world, and you're promised the best possible terms, guaranteed, with immediate dividends, would you go for it? So he says, anybody would go for it. So he says, right now I am giving $100,000 to Eish HaTorah, and I have absolute faith that this will be $1 million. And you know what? His life supports that. And then he went on. And he said, because Hashem is the one who gives us everything, of course we should be grateful to Hashem. Of course we should give tzedakah to places that make it possible for people to learn His Torah and to do His will. He was in a state of religious ecstasy. He began to sing a song which nobody picked up. I remember this. I was one of the older people there. It's an old niggun to Agbali Dai, not the one that people know. But it was beautiful to see. So that's where Bitachon should go. You could do maximum mishtadlus. He's 95 years old. When he came to Israel at 70, he planned to retire. But he sees that the more business he does, the more tzedakah he could give. The more tzedakah he gives, the more capital he has. The more capital he has, the more business he could do, etc., etc. It's all l'shem shemayim. His life is living testimony to miracles. Okay, a person who lives like that could be a person of absolute faith. He's sure that everything he's doing is l'shem shemayim. Hashem yatzilelo v'yatzlicheu. Hashem will save him and give him success. Simcha shamala. Simcha ba mi milui hachisaron. Joy comes when you feel lack filled. So the more you yearn for something, the greater the happiness when it's fulfilled. Okay. Hashi'ifu limilu chisaron ba mikoach hanatila. The desire to fill what's empty comes from a power that's within us that says, take. Simcha zelo tariach yamim. That kind of simcha of wanting to take, it's not going to last too long. Hita'ut yisoda, because its foundation is erroneous. The taking can make you happy. Hachisaron lo yitmale klal. The empty space will never ever be filled by taking. Ein habor mitmale mechuliyateho. V'yesh lo menaro tzematayim kiyadua. You can't fill a pit if it has no bottom. And as we observe, a person who wants 100 and gets it will then want 200. You know, we're all so tied up with the if only ifs. If only I had a shidduch, then I'd be happy. Well, that's if only I had financial security with my shidduch. That's only if I had a big talmud chacham. Now we're married. If only we had children. If only the children turned out to be as I like them to be in every possible respect. If only. Okay, the if onlys have to do with, again, filling an empty space. And the filling the empty space doesn't come through grasping. V'yeshoalim, harei gam hanoten bal hachesed shoef lachesed. Ki chesed lo ma'aseh hachesed v'hargasha l'tova havelo v'hasagato. V'im ken, gam hu kafuf l'koach hanatila. So you could say that a person who loves giving, well, that person's just as much a taker as a person who loves taking. Why are they giving? Because they enjoy giving. So it's still all about filling that empty space. Which sometimes is the truth, which is why I told you about the first philanthropist who was doing this to fill his empty space. And I'm not criticizing him. I didn't wear his shoes and he's doing great things. He's a wonderful person. But the question is, could he have real simcha? Is that where simcha is going to come from? Okay. Koach hanatina einena shava al ela al hasim al hatzameach. V'hu rak hu henehu kenar asher mimav yirbu'um v'yavor al kol gedotav. Hanotein hu asher baruchni et yisodo. V'v'chol inyanei olamo inav nisuot lemala. Hu yireh b'chol davar gadol v'gam katan et chasdei Hashem. Ki lo tamlu rachamav v'yatovatav asher en ketz lahem. So a person who is a true noten, in the highest sense of the word, Where is this desire to give coming from? Now, I want you to hear this carefully. It's not coming because something is empty that says give, 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 so that you have self-esteem, so that you have a sense of success. No, it's when a person feels that Hashem has given them so much that they're like an overflowing cup. So the giving is natural, and it's a result of simcha. So it's not something that one does in order to get simcha, but rather it's the result of simcha. So you could think that that could apply only to really major things. No, it's with minor things as well. I'm going to give you two examples. With major things, we see it. It's not uncommon, for instance, a person is getting married, and I've seen this, where the day of the wedding, people are writing checks to tzedakah, like, you know, like it's the last day they could give tzedakah. They're so happy. They want the people in the soup kitchen to be happy. They want the people in the orphanage to be happy. They want the yeshiva bachurim to have a bit more on their plates. They want the Kirov program to be able to expand further. They want to give and give because they're overflowing with joy. I've seen people do this with small things, though, which to me is an even greater chiddush. I may have told you this story, so if I did, you'll have to excuse me. There's a big monstrous supermarket in Yerushalayim that used to be called Zolpo, but which is now called Aleph. So Aleph has everything in it, and everything is like a third cheaper than elsewhere, so you could imagine it's a very central shopping spot. So I was there one evening. Now, Wednesday night, there aren't enough shopping carts. Now you could say, so let them, they should, what is this? But the fact is, every other time, there is more than enough shopping carts. So what do? So realize, nobody goes to Aleph to buy a bar of soap. People go to fill up their wagons with what they need for a month because it's such a huge balagan. So what you do is you stand right near the cash register, and as soon as somebody checks out, you say, can I have your wagon? Okay, it's sort of like a vulture-like kind of an atmosphere which characterizes shopping there altogether. So I did this. A man was checking out his things. He said, can I have your wagon? He said, sure, I just have to bring it outside. Now, usually what that means is if the people aren't having their order delivered, they have a car in the parking lot, and you follow them closely behind so that nobody could grab the wagon before you do, all the way to the car, and they put their things into the car, and then you take their wagon. Great. I go with him, and he's going and going and going and going. Where's he going? Finally, I see there are no more cars. What is this? Am I going to be walking this fellow home? What's the story? No, he has a bicycle. So he starts taking out all of the plastic shopping bags and tying it to the bicycle handlebars and the seat and all over. I don't even know how many bags he tied on there. 12, 15, 20. Don't know. Okay, now, when you take a shopping cart, the shopping carts are assembled in a line and they fold into each other, and to free one, you have to put in a 5-shekel piece. So I took out a 5-shekel piece to pay him for the shopping cart, since he wasn't bringing it back to get back his 5 shekels. And he said, no. And I said, why not? You pay. So he said, everybody here is so stressed out. Everybody here looks so nervous and upset. They're buying food. They're buying good things. Enjoy the shopping cart. Just give it to the next person also for free so there could be a little simcha here. Now, this man was not rich. He didn't even have the money to have his stuff delivered. It couldn't have been easy to bicycle home with all this stuff. But he obviously felt such joy in Hashem's giving him enough to buy a huge order of food for his family that he just wanted to give. I'll never forget the sight of him. And I'm sure those of you who went to Israel could already picture him. Around 35, Sfardi, Long Peis, probably Breslov, off into the distance on his bicycle with the shopping bags. So that's the idea. If you have simcha, then you give. Not give to have simcha, although it sometimes works also. V'hibru roto ki ken halo yismach l'mat nota elu simcha rabba v'ayu chayim musharo tamid. When a person sees what Hashem gives them, they'll always be happy. Mina simcha v'osher shenovat minatina v'ava. And from that simcha comes giving and love. Lo tavo hashifa el hatov min hachisaron. So that the yearning for good isn't coming from lack. Kasher ba hashifa hara el min hadvekas, but it comes from attachment to Hashem. So if we understand this, we'll understand bitachon also. As we said at the very first shiur, bitachon isn't listed in Orchot Tzadikim in a chapter on trust. It's listed in a chapter called Simcha, because Simcha is the source from which all bitachon could come forth. Let's take this a little bit further. Hare anu omrim, שיסוד בריאת העולם הוא חסד, עולם חסד ייבנה. מדרך הטוב להטיב, וברא השם את עולמו כדי להטיב עם ברואיו. ויש שואלים על זה, האם הבריאה למען חסד, האם קודם הבריאה חס ושלום היה חסר? הרי לא שייך חיסרון אצל כביכול. So he says, now let's look at the world. Why was the world created? The world is an extension of Hashem's chesed. As it says, Olam chesed yibaneh, the world was made for chesed. So a question that one sometimes gets, especially if one is teaching high school, is, so like, you know, so Hashem like made us all like because he was like missing something, you know? Like, he wanted to give, like, what's that my problem? I didn't ask to be born. But no. Hashem, whose nature is good, his goodness overflows, and that's where the world comes from. It's all good. Okay, so his chesed comes from his shleimus and from his simcha. And this is what we mean, we say about oz v'chedva b'mkomo, in Hashem's place, in Hashem's reality, there's only strength, there's only joy. We're going to take this one step further, and that'll close this inyan. B'tuvo yitbarach, b'vro'o tanu b'tzamo, sham bara me'en ha-simcha hazo, simcha ha-vaya, simcha ta-shleimus. Nimtza sha-adam ha-me'ule, ha-noten, ha-amiti, dome l'kodo b'nyan ikarize, sh'mekor chasadav hu-me'en simcha shalmala. So part of Hashem's overflow is he gave us the highest and best gift that anyone could ever give. Himself. He gave us some of his ability to be whole, to overflow, to have simcha. V'yesh esamach b'mitzvah mishum shehesig mitzvah. So now we'll talk about simcha of mitzvah, because this is also a bitachon issue, as we'll speak about later. For some people, when they get a mitzvah, their joy is, I got it. This was lacking. And there are those who are happy with the mitzvah in and of itself. I want to give of myself to Hashem through this mitzvah. So the person who wants to get a mitzvah, I know this will sound bizarre, could even be competitive in mitzvot. Not in a positive way, in a negative way. The person who has to be the head of the committee. The person who has to see their name on the wall with all of the donors. The person who, and I'm sure we've seen this, the person who could burst into tears if they're slighted in terms of getting proper acknowledgement for the mitzvah, which we should give acknowledgement. But if that's what they need the most, then it's coming from a place of lack. She didn't even thank me. She didn't even tell me. She didn't even. Okay, sometimes a person is happy with the mitzvah themselves. Aha, it's perfect, it's beautiful, I've given it to Hashem. V'chein b'talmud Torah, yesh margish oneg gadol b'torah atzma, kal elam ein simcha shama lahem. So there are people who, when they learn, have delight in filling what's missing. What does that mean? A person could be missing satisfaction in life. They want to achieve something, so they want to become a lamdan. They want to have a good name in the yeshiva. they want to possibly have a position, or just the satisfaction of getting it. Aha! So that's why Tosfa springs to Pshatim. Now I know. Now I've taken myself out of intellectual discomfiture. But there's another person who loves learning because it makes them full of Hashem, which is something that's subtle and deep. ומזה יש בחינה לבחון במצוות שאנו עושים אם יש להם מציאות אמיתית. So sometimes we have to look at the mitzvot we do and see how real we are with them. כי אותו זה שמחה של מצווה. The sign of being real is if we have simcha when we do it. ונאמר, תחת אשר לא עבדת את השם אלוקיך בשמחה, it says that the reason for all of the punishments is that we don't serve Hashem in simcha, meaning we have a deep lack in our entire approach. Okay, so if you look at the person's delight in the mitzvah itself, if they feel like they're overpouring, then there's something spiritual in there, and it's a consequence of bitachon and a reflection of bitachon. Okay, L'olam haba nene miziv hashchina. It says about the future world that we have pleasure in the radiance of the Shechina. Yesh bo gam ken misig besimchas ha-hasaga. Mikol makom ikar koach ha-tzmicha l'chayolam haba besimchat ha-havaya. So even though there is a certain amount of feeling of achievement that living a good life and being rewarded in olam haba gives you, the real thing is the moment itself, the closeness, the delight. Umi, v'gam shover yitzro sameach. Now we're getting to the bitachon part. There's simcha also in overcoming evil. So that feeling of, I did it not for personal fulfillment, but as a giver, I'm giving you Hashem. I'm giving you my taiva, I'm giving you my gaiva, I'm giving you my lashon hara, to dispose of as you wish, because all I want is closeness to you. There's simcha there also. So a person who has suffering, and it takes them somewhere, and they grow from it, and they learn from it, then the suffering itself could be a source of simcha. The suffering itself could be something that they, if they could go without it or not go without it, they'll say, I'm glad I had it. And this is why it says, it says this in Shulchan Aruch, which means that we could all achieve it, by the way. A person has to bless Hashem for bad things in the same way that they bless for good, with a willing soul, with a feeling of wholeness. Why? Because it's taking them where they have to go, which is closeness to Hashem. So with this we end what we have to say about Bitachon for now. Now the kunz is to bring it into our lives. So now we know specifically and practically to try to be fuller and happier and more joyous. Have a good week.